Amen. And if you do have a Bible with you, or a tablet or phone that has a Bible on it, let's turn to God's Word together. And we're going to read from Matthew chapter 5 today. We do have Bibles in church, so if you wanted a Bible, there are some available at the back in the cupboard there as well. So if you would like to take one, don't be embarrassed at all to pop up and grab one from the back of church. So Matthew chapter 5. Chaps at the back, I'm going to move to this microphone because I've got a red light. No one else knows what that means, but you do, which is kind of exciting. But I'm going to turn to this microphone if that's okay. Thank you. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read together verses 14 to 16. One of my favorite passages of the Bible, an influential passage of the Bible for me as well. Verses 14 to 16, when Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And we give thanks for the reading of God's word this morning. Well, at this time of year, I've always planned for the following academic year of personal service and ministry. And I normally set a number of aims or priorities for the year ahead, seeking to fulfill the vision of God, particularly here for CBC. Some of you will know that last year I had no discipline at all, and I set myself something along the lines of 12 to 15 aims or priorities. I'm afraid I do tend to live my life like that. Everything is a priority. And I didn't have much discipline, but moving into this next year, I've been a little bit more disciplined. And I have five aims or priorities for my ministry here at CBC. And here on this slide, the next slide, you'll see them. To lead the church towards greater freedom in the Holy Spirit. Develop the hub to bring about community transformation. Support and lead ecumenical partnership in the city of Canterbury. Build deeper relationship in the body of Christ here at CBC, and establish greater commitment to communal prayer. Having spoken about that, I want to give thanks to those of you who supported the CBC Day of Prayer. Perhaps your name was written down on a rota or a list. Perhaps it wasn't, but you were praying for the church on Wednesday when we had a day of prayer. I just want to thank you so much for devoting yourselves to that. My sermon's been given away here. Don't look at these slides. Just listen to what I'm saying. We really appreciated your support for the church and support for the various people who lead the ministries of the church here. God bless you as you committed to that. And I was really encouraged by the number who attended the prayer meetings, but also completed the 12 hours of prayer for us in name. So thank you so much. And I encourage you, as we studied last week, we studied the concept of devotion, devoting ourselves to God, particularly in prayer and the reading of God's word, that you continue to do it. Don't let it just be something that you heard last Sunday and applied on Monday, but continue to devote yourself to the reading of God's word and to prayer. And of course, we would be delighted to help you in making that possible and making that reality. So if you want any help with that, please do come and speak to me. Now, I'm not going to go through all of these five aims or priorities, but during the next two Sundays, I'm going to unpack two of these aims and priorities that I have set for 2017 and 18, starting today with my hope to see the development of our community hub. Now, you may or may not know that the church buildings have not always looked like this. We haven't always had white walls at CBC. Until 2014, there were concrete steps leading to a largely red-bricked and closed-looking church with a tired interior, complete with pigeons in the roof. It took at least 10 years, four different projects, some fairly fiery church members' meetings, and devotion to prayer for us to arrive at this point of having wonderfully refurbished buildings that we can use for God's glory. And all this effort was not for a more comfortable experience on a Sunday morning, although you'd probably agree it helps. And yes, it was part of the plan. But primarily to make this vibrant church more visible to the local community and a kingdom resource through which God can bring about his transformation of Canterbury through what we call the community hub. Now, the vision for this community hub was given clarity some years ago when we heard about the work of another church, actually, in the Baptist Union, in the Baptist family, the work of a church called Shoreditch Tabernacle Church in North London. They had a similar situation to us, old buildings that desperately needed refurbishment or demolition, which led to a daring vision and use of their premises that I remember seeing in a video explaining their journey. And just for you today, we're going to watch that video together now. So let's have a listen to their story. That is also a good video, but we're not going to watch that one. And it's not this one either. It's not this one either. It'll be worth the wait. That's the one. Thank you.
Thank you.
So here's a church with a pretty small congregation, with buildings far greater than they require as a church, are in disrepair. They could, if they wanted to, just sell the buildings or part of the buildings. Probably get quite a lot of money for it in London, I would have thought. And they could have had the buildings demolished, a block of flats put up, perhaps, and make some healthy profit out of it. But instead, this church had daring vision. They decided they wouldn't do that, but what they'd do is use their buildings to glorify God. And not glorify God by just serving their own needs as a congregation, but by serving the needs of the community and seeking to make faith real for people who live in Shoreditch. We talk about Jesus saving the lost and bringing healing and bringing well-being and being the answer. But there needs to be a way in which we can make that truth reality. Does that make sense? And so what Shoreditch Tabernacle are seeking to do is to house another number of projects within their buildings. They have refurbished their buildings, so to house these community projects within them, so to make the truth of our faith real for people who are in need. And as I watched this film, I guess I shared this feelings of, was it Andrew in the video there who said, finally, I found a church who is doing what I believe we should be doing as Christians. And I remember when I watched this video at a Baptist conference, I remember watching it and thinking, wow, that is so deeply inspiring. I want to be in a church like that, that's making a difference to the world, that's making a difference to the community, that is seeking to bring God's kingdom to the community where it is situated, God's kingdom on earth as in heaven. And so this example inspired some of us here to consider our own refurbished church with space given for use by the congregation, but also for local charities, social projects, and community groups to be housed in the buildings. And it says within our own hub business action plan, and yes, there is a hub business action plan, it says that our long-term vision is for a God-honoring, community-serving venue in St. George's Place. And so as we refurbished the buildings, this was our vision. To see these buildings used by us, CBC, yes, but also to see it used by different charities, social projects, community groups to bring about something of God's kingdom on earth as in heaven here in Canterbury. And so the refurbishment project took place in 2014. There was a lot of hard work that took place to encourage the use of our buildings by community groups. And up to now, up to this day, we've had groups using the buildings such as Celebrate Recovery, Jive Dance, Alcoholics Anonymous, Health Watch Kent, Kent and Medway NHS and Social Care Partnership, Canterbury College, the East African Caribbean Society, Canterbury Christ Church University, MAPS for people with learning difficulties, the Potter's House Christian Fellowship, Elim Chinese Church, the Ramblers Association, Warborough College, the Towns Women's Guild, Oasis Domestic Abuse Service, the Kent Refugee Action Network, Coffee and Chaos Toddler and Baby Group, Catching Lives, Winter Shelter, and many more, as well as our own community ministries such as Little Seeds, the Lighthouse Project, Lunch Club, and the English Language Tuition Service. And we give thanks to God for the use of these buildings by these groups, don't we? Don't we praise Him that we're part of a church that is seeking to make a difference for God's glory? That we don't exist here for ourselves, but that we exist to bring about God's light and truth and life in the world. But I think there is more to come. Sometime last year, I walked over to the church halls beside us here, and I just felt a deep sense of dissatisfaction as I think I was moving boxes around. And a once vibrant building had become quiet. The large hall, another small hall, five offices along a corridor were all empty. And I sensed God press on my heart a sense of unfinished business for the community hub. Along with these words, this should be a thriving kingdom resource. I could picture offices occupied with God-serving, kingdom-building, and life-transforming projects that meet the needs of our community here in Canterbury. What would it look like if someone from the local community came to the church building and we not only welcomed them with a tea, a coffee, and occasionally with a smile, but offered them access to Jesus-centered debt relief, counseling, mental health advice, family mentoring, the opportunity to find hope and restoration in the midst of life's crises and darkness. We read in Matthew chapter 5 these words from Jesus where he calls upon his disciples saying, "Let your light shine before men. Don't hide it under a bowl," he said, "but put it on a stand. A light that shines on top of a hill so that others can see that light. And not only see that light, but access that light for themselves." What or who is this light that Jesus speaks of here? Well, he speaks of himself. The light that we are to radiate, the light that we are to shine, is the light of Jesus Christ. He is the true light who can offer everlasting life and life to the full. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And our task, not only personally, but in the use of our buildings, I believe, is to increase the visibility of Jesus. Do you agree with that? That we are called as individuals to shine the light of Jesus wherever we are. When you go to school tomorrow, shine with the light of Jesus. When you get up with your children in the morning, shine the light of Jesus amongst them. When you go shopping, shine the light of Jesus. When you go to college, when you go to university, whatever it is you do, our task as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is to shine the light of Jesus so that others can see him. And not only see him, but access him. And I believe the same is true for us as a church. These buildings are not just for ourselves to access Jesus, to see Jesus. But we need to use these buildings, in my view, to shine the light of Christ to those who are outside. And to meet the needs of those who are outside of this building. And yes, they can get help. Yes, there are services and projects available. I recognize this. But ultimately, we believe that Jesus is the only answer, right? He's the only one who can offer true wholeness and life and restoration that is everlasting. And so we have a task to do. And I'll confess that part of the reason why I came back here to Canterbury, for those who don't know, I was here before, I moved away, and now I'm back again. Part of the reason why I'm back again is with this sense of unfinished business and relating to this community hub. And there would probably be a sense of discontentment in me until I at least attempt to try and see this vision unfold for us as a church. So we're chasing after this dream. At least initially with the expertise of a national Christian charity called Redeeming Our Communities. We haven't got time to watch the video today. I won't inflict that upon you. But we are seeking initially to work in partnership with this charity, a Christian charity called Redeeming Our Communities. And they are a national charity with over 150 projects across the country, with the main aim to bring about community transformation by creating strategic partnerships between community groups, churches, the police, the fire brigade, local authority, and voluntary agencies to work for change in cities, towns, and villages. They have projects that we can deliver locally and resources that we can also use to realize our dream of this more complete community hub. And I'm really excited about the potential of this partnership. We are talking with ROC, as we call them, currently. And Stephen is our hub manager. Stephen and I are going to be attending a local conference of theirs soon with the aim to develop further this vision for a transforming community, building community hub during the next academic year. And I invite your partnership in this vision, in this dream. How can you get involved with this vision? I think we have got a slide somewhere. I'm sorry, I must have done something funny with my slides. Were they on loop or something? Apologies for that. But there are three ways in which you can help us in this vision. The first is that as we develop our relationship with redeeming our communities, we will need help to deliver community meetings and projects. So if you're interested in that, if this community hub vision is something that you have passion for and would like to help us realize, then just let us know and you can be involved in the delivery of those meetings and projects potentially. But primarily at this point, we need help in two ways. The first is that we need help to pay back the mortgage that we owe. And I'm sorry to bring up money, but it's just a reality for us. The project cost us 1.something million, and we have done amazingly well to be able to pay off most of what it cost us to refurbish the buildings here. But the reality is we still have a mortgage to pay until 2023, and it's in excess of £200,000. We are struggling to meet the repayments for this mortgage. And that is a difficulty for us because I guess the temptation is for us to become so obsessed with paying off the loan that we actually don't get down to the real business of using the buildings effectively for God's glory. And so if you're able to help us to pay towards this mortgage, then we would be so grateful. We already are grateful to those who contribute. To make things more complicated, we have two different accounts as a church. We have one fund for our general accounts, and then we have another fund for paying back the mortgage. And so you may have never heard before that the money that you're giving to the church is only going in one direction. And if you know that you're not contributing to the repayment of the mortgage, then we would just be so grateful to receive any donations or gifts that you're able to give us. If you want to know more about how you can financially give to the church and support us in repaying this mortgage that we owe, there are these leaflets scattered around the church, and on the reverse of this leaflet, it just explains how you can give financially to the church and to the project specifically. The other way that you can help us in fulfilling or reaching this dream or this aim is to pray. Pray that this vision, that God's hopes and dreams for this church, that our community hub will be fulfilled. Pray that we would not be lacking in heart, but that we would be willing vessels through which God's vision is seen out to completion. Pray that we will not be a stumbling block to Him. That we will not get in the way of what He wants to do, but that we would place Him at the center. And that our hearts would be open to allowing God to do risky and things that are beyond our dreams through these buildings. Pray that this vision would become reality. Now, I've been reminded this week of those words in Haggai chapter 2. They're up here on a big banner. And these words were referenced several times during the 10 years that we were battling through this project. Let me remind you of what we read in Haggai 2. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. The refurbishment may be complete, but let's keep praying that this house will increasingly glorify the Lord. That it will do more than it's ever done in its history to serve God and to build the kingdom of God on earth as in heaven. That he will be glorified in our meeting, yes, but in our serving those who are in need, who don't know Jesus Christ outside of these doors, and that his dreams and his vision for this church will be fulfilled. Amen. Let's just pray together.